Hey, I want to thank you for joining me on another Sugar Hill Church weekday podcast. My name is Chuck Allen, and I have the privilege of serving as the pastor at Sugar Hill Church, just northeast of Atlanta. We share this podcast 5 days a week, 5 minutes a day, and really trust that you'll hit the share button below and share it in your social media and with your friends, because this is designed to give you a weekday encouragement for you to be able to live for the cause of Christ and make a difference in your day-to-day life. So today, I want to pick up where I left off on Wednesday in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaches this probably 30-minute or 40-minute sermon that we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, last Wednesday, we talked about the Beatitudes, that Jesus gives us this picture of the attitude that we are to have, the attitude we are to be. We are to be before we do. And the reason we do that is because it's all about our heart. Every teaching that Jesus has is about our heart. It's about the motivation. It's the why. It's not because we check it off like a task. Does our heart resonate with the things that Jesus says is important? And so we wanted to jump back in and take a couple of short verses, actually four short verses in Matthew chapter 5. Let's start in verse 13. This is known, by the way, as the salt and light teaching. So as you look at that, here's where it starts off. You are the salt of the earth. Who is he talking to? He's still talking to you and me. We are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Now, we had some bad weather here in Atlanta earlier in this week, and when it happened and the snow came and the ice came and everybody freaks out, one of the things that helped me get up the hill leaving my home to get to the office was they had come by in a salt and sand truck and they had laid that salt out. And my truck, as a result, I didn't spin. I could get where I needed to be. But the fact is, I'm not going to use that salt to put on my baked potato. My dad, he passed away several years ago. He died at age 75. And one of the reasons might be because my dad put salt on everything before he even tasted it. And I was like, Dad, dude, you don't have to do that. There's salt in this. But Dad just loved that taste. Well, salt was designed in the time this was written that it was not only something that was to create a flavor, it was also something that would preserve. When we are acting as salt in our life, there is something that's different. It tastes different. It looks different. It acts different. It walks different. And it's like that, you know, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, odds are good. It's a what? It's a duck. Well, as followers of Jesus, we are to walk and to lead and to let our lives be so directed by the presence of God that we are the salt of the earth. I think we all get the concept, and I don't know that I need to drive in some type of, you know, cool analogy as much as I'd say, if we're to be like salt, then we are to be difference makers. We are to have a season in our life that lasts from now till heaven where we are investing in those things that make a difference in people's lives. By the way, one of the ways we make differences is that we tear down fences. We tear down walls. We're not trying to get people so that they become Baptists or Methodists or Church of God or Assembly of God or any of these other things. What we are about is letting people experience God and experience his overwhelming love and grace so that they can say, oh, now I'm salt of the earth. You see, it's because it tasted better. It flavored it, but it also preserved it within us. Salt does that. One of the things that's worth being preserved is when our heart is drawn toward becoming more like Jesus. Now, you know, it's hard to be more like Jesus and also try to be more religious. I believe the more and more we become like Jesus, the less and less we're religious. We are simply banking on, counting on, living for him and him alone. He says we're to be the salt of the earth. But then he goes on and he makes a big statement in verse 14. He says, you're also the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, just take that for a minute. Jesus says you're to be salt, and then he says you're also the light of the world. You're a city. You cannot be hidden. You cannot light a light and put this shade over it where nobody gets to see the light. You are to be light. Well, if we're to be light, here's what he's really saying, that Jesus can take over our life and we can surrender our life, our spirit, our decisions, our direction to him. We can literally be, like I preached on a few weeks ago, the vine, and now we, the branch, are attached to it. And when we do that, we have a light that shines from us, and the light shining from us is the presence of Jesus. Let me ask you a question. In the darkness of this world, is there any light switch that comes on in you that replicates Jesus? That truly is, wait a minute, there's that unashamed confidence of kindness. There's that unashamed process of grace. There's somebody who is forgiving. You see, when the light shines from us, it is rarely ever because of our religion, but it is always about our heart. Jesus is saying there's a light within you that is not pointing people to a religion. There's not a light that comes on that points people to a church. It points people to him. If he is the source of the light, and by the way, he was pretty clear that he is the light of the world, he is saying the light that we offer the world is him, not our thoughts, not our whims, not our desires, but his. For the light to shine and for the salt to taste right, we have to surrender our will to his. Now you might say, well, Chuck, that sounds really good. That's preacher talk. How do I surrender my will to the will of Christ Jesus? I believe it is a decision we make every morning of our life. When we choose in the morning, every morning, I want to be grateful. I want to read the scriptures. I want to understand the scriptures, and I want to speak with God, and I want to hear from God. And when we choose to make those decisions, we can be the branch attached to the vine, and it never falls off. It never withers. We get every nutrient we need. And so when that happens, the salt is because of Jesus' presence. The light is literally Jesus within us. Here's a statement that catches me every single time, that the only thing that I truly offer the world is Jesus himself. The only thing I offer worth anything is the presence of Jesus. And if he's not the light that is shining from within me, what I offer is silliness. My friend, let those light shine within you. Let salt bear within you. Let that salt flavor you and let that salt preserve you so that your light that shines is a light that points people to Christ and not to you. This is a great challenge, my friend. I can't wait to hear how you do that. So when you do, share it with us. Shoot me a message, chuck@sugarhillchurch.com. And thanks for joining us again. Hope to see you Sunday at Sugar Hill Church, where we have three services, one at 9:30, two at 11. One of them at 11 is in Spanish. And then you can always watch us online at live.sugarhill.church. God bless you. Bye now.